Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun-o goes based on the data you had printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give you another few seconds.
We're going, fine.
Okay, retro,
go.
Fido,
go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Jinsei,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it's good to be back in Studio A here in the gold country of Northern California, and it's actually kind of warm outside, and yet when you step outside, just outside the studio, and it's absolutely pitch black. Beautiful stars out. You can see the constellation Orion. A lot of talk in the news about Betelgeuse. It's not the movie, it's the star in Betelgeuse. And it's one of the stars in the Orion constellation. And it there was a story, I think, on a Fox News affiliate that said that any day now, that star could go supernova, and we would be just inundated with light, and there would be no dark. It would be eternal daylight for several months, and not quite accurate. And Sherry wants to know where I'm at. I'm in Shingle Springs, California, Northern California, about 50 miles as a crow flies from Lake Tahoe, so we're actually in the Sierra Nevadas. This Betelgeuse star, it's like the second biggest star in the known universe, as far as we can tell. And when it runs out of fuel, it will actually implode and then explode, and it will be this amazing sight. And that's how stars die. They run out of fuel, and they can't hold back the gravity. And when that happens, all that mass collapses, and that's how you get supernovas. So they were talking about that, and there was some corrections put out, because I'm an amateur astronomer in addition to ghost hunter and all these other things I do. And then they kind of backpedaled a bit, because if that happened, it would already have the star already would have blown up 300 years ago, because that's how long the light takes to get here from where that star is. And it will probably happen in the next 100,000 years, but they were trying to tie it to 2012. And so if you guys are saw that news story and are waiting with bated breath for Betelgeuse to blow up before 2012 or December 21st, 2012, I think you're going to have a long wait. So it would be cool. It would be cool. It's far enough away, it wouldn't hurt us. It would just be one hell of a big show. But anyway, hey, good to be back. As I've been on a somewhat staggered schedule since all this stuff started going on with illnesses, and was going to do the show yesterday, normal time, and then I got an emergency call from my cousin, who is has his own illnesses, and I actually had to go over, cancel the show, move it over to today. and go over and take care of him because he doesn't have anybody else. So family takes care of family. You got to do what you got to do. But I see, let's go ahead and, you know, and I thank all of you for coming in on such short notice to do a show like this on Saturday. So it's a Soul Stream Saturday, and I see Dan Adams is there. Dan Adam, good to see you, my friend. Grand Elf, good to see you. I guess 19759, you are from France. Hello, good to see you, wherever you are. Jeannie, out there in Atlanta, Georgia, or Atlanta suburb, Georgia. Mother Jerry is here. Hello, my dear. One of a kind. I saw two of a kind and three of a kind later on. You might have missed them. Sasquatch Spirit, Thomas, you got to give me a call, buddy. And I got a couple of callers out there, too, who kind of listened to all my pre-show banter. So we'll see who they are. Sherry Nine, hello, my dear. And you wanted to know where I'm at. Yeah, I'm in Shingle Springs, California. Is not. We're about 9 miles out of Placerville and about 30 miles east of Sacramento. We are right on top of a gold mine. I actually have my own haunted gold mine we live on. And I've got some stories about ghost activity. It's been on the rise here in our little haunted neck of the woods. We've had quite a bit going on. So, and I want to hear about what you guys have going on. So the number is 646-478-0377. Or if you have Skype, you can call in and we can talk about that. And so, and I'm on the new pay plan for Blog Talk because no more freebies. So, you know, that it did get me some extras in the switchboard so I could see all kinds of new things. So that's good. Let's see. Tisha 80. Better than the other 79, Tisha. Good to see you. And Veronica, hello, my dear. Big hug to you. You know, God darn, I got to get you to actually, if you are, I know you're in Southern California, I think. Next time you're traveling through here, you got a spot right here next to me in the studio. I actually have two mics here. Our studio is, although somewhat looking a little worse for the wear right now, is pretty professional. So anyway, we're going to be doing a couple hours here. Got an hour and 53 minutes remaining. Tonight's show is going to be kind of a potpourri, but I'd like to dedicate the show before we get going to my good friend on the other side is Debbie Caruso. And some of you know who she is. And for those of you who do not, I'll go ahead and talk a little bit about her. She was a pioneering EVP researcher, somebody I really look up to. And she's somebody I did have a brief couple of interactions with on a website called CJEVP that is just one of the best places you can go to really get into the kind of the center nexus of the universe of EVP and ITC research. And so I did talk with her a couple of times and pleasant exchanges. And then I was very surprised to hear in January of last year that she had suddenly passed of stage 4 cancer, and they didn't even know she had it. So she was in about a week, and then she was just gone. And she was like this, just she was on Maury Povich and did all kinds of things. And, you know, my friend Kathy from Kathy's Distant Echoes got me in with Christine Griffith, and we did an ITC session. It was my first ever ITC, instrumental transcommunications session. We did an actual telephone bridge. And I did some recording work, and that's how I got into all this business with doing what we do with this radio show. That was the beginning of all this. And so, you know, Debbie was basically a very instrumental part of the growth of what we do here and remains so. It was on January 22nd, and that is today. So she passed, and it just was a real formative thing for us. So, you know, when you stop and look at the kind of person she is and what she did when she was here and brought so much awareness about ITC and did the kinds of things she did and was out in the public eye and went out on the air and on TV on Maury Povich and did countless interviews and was in the center of the media with all of this and really brought it to where we are today. I'm just sort of overwhelmed that she would pick me to work with like she does. And she actually has been pretty patient with me, especially when I got sick in November. I had to kind of bow out for a while. And so it's been something. A lot of strange things, by the way, going on in the studio. I've been having knocks and bangs in here since I got here, and the printer just decided to make some strange noises it never does. So I think I'll talk a little bit about our haunt that's going on, but it's been something this whole year of activity, and the communications with her, and constantly being there, even when I do shows just on the spur of the moment, which I'm famous for. She is just right there and comes through strong as ever and is just somebody I really care about. So, Debbie, this show is for you, and you know, in recognition of everything you did. And we're going to do a little bit of work today. I've got the studio kind of in a survival mode, so I'm going to be doing some strange things as I try to kind of get back into the groove here. But anyway, boy, a full show tonight, and I'm going to go ahead and take a couple of calls before we really get going in here. And let's see, let's go ahead and take the 516 who's been waiting. And 516, you're on the air.
Hey, John, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Who we got here?
My name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Are you doing readings?
I am going to do some readings today. I'm a little rusty, but I did some meditation. I was kind of planning for that, so I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Awesome. I have a relationship question. I'm wondering what you see happening between Lori and me.
Now, you know I talk to dead people, right?
Okay, you're meeting. No, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah, I'm a medium, so but I can tell you this about relationship stuff. Number one, when you are on this side of things, and I'm always a constant on this, so for those of you listening who wanted to do a reading on relationships, you know, listen in carefully, because this is it. But when we come into this side of the thing, and Dan, I see you saying you can't hear the caller. Everybody, I should have him on air. Okay, I think I've got him on air. Yep, I've got him on air. So anyway, the thing with relationships is that when we come into this side of the veil and we do the work we do, we sign on for a mission and we do what we have to do to learn the lessons we have to learn. Now, between you and, was it Lori?
Yes, Lori.
Okay. Now, the one thing I can tell is, you know, you care about what's going on with her and you want things to go better. And, you know, and I'm not going to try to reach into that because I don't know all the particulars going on with you, you know, with her and you. But I assume there's like some conflict or something like that going on.
Right.
Okay. Now, the thing to do here is, number one, you know, your free choice is your free choice. You have to make that, you know, make the call on where this goes. You know, the sense I get of it, just asking that one basic question is you really care about her, right?
Yes.
And you're still in love with her?
Very much.
Okay, and you're married? Are you married to her?
Not yet. I'd like to be.
Okay, so the thing I would say is, have you been able to communicate with her, you know, really open up with her, or is it been kind of two ships in the night, not talking, kind of talking past each other?
Yeah, two kind ships of passing, yeah.
Be honest with yourself. What do you think is causing it?
You want to know my opinion?
I'd like your opinion.
I think we both have some past life history together, and I don't know, for some reason we're scared, and it's like we both kind of want to run away, but at the same time, I don't want to be with anyone else, and I know I only want to be with her, but I can't explain the fear. There is a fear here.
Okay, that's, you know, that's the crux of most of the relationship stuff is fear. Excuse me. What I would say is, first off, fear is huge for a lot of people, especially when they're in love relationships, and fear with their jobs, fear with money. It's the number one cause of most conflict, most things in the world today, even with politics and relationships between countries. And everybody, you know, that, you know, denies that they have fear. Sorry, you have fear. It's just how we deal with it. And fear really, in my book, stands for false evidence against reality. It really kind of is taking something that you, is looking within yourself. It's something inside yourself that you really don't want to face and, you know, or are very uncomfortable with. And you have to look past that, and it takes courage. And see, this is a test of courage for you and her. You know, So what I would really say, and this is from, you know, guy to guy, I would say if it was me in your shoes, I would go right up to her today and tell her how I feel and just say it, you know, throw your cards on the table and say, damn the torpedoes, this is what I think about you. And it may be, it's a risk. It could go either way. But the bottom line is, if you make a move like that, it's going to declare your intentions, where you're coming from, and guide the relationship from that point on. But if you're talking past one another, you know, that's, you know, somebody's got to grab the oar of the ship, if you will, the rudder, and start steering, because both of you are staring at the rudder, and the ship is going wherever the ship's going, and somebody's got to do it. So, you know, the fact that you're calling today, and the fact that you have that desire, I would say, for one, it's courage, clear and simple. And that's where I think you're going, is if you can make that happen, you two can make it work. And she seems, you know, my sense of her, just a gut feel, is that she feels the same about you. You know, otherwise, Woman's Recreation, is the show pre-recorded? It's live. I think I'm live. Are you live? Okay. So, sorry about that.
I hope we're live.
I hope I'm alive.
It's all a dream. It's all a dream.
It's just a dream. Women's Recreation. I like that name, Women's Recreation. Oh, it's a recreation. Anyway, but she feels, Lori must, the sense I get of her is that she does feel that way about you, right? I mean, you can sense that from her.
I think so, yes.
Are you two dealing with past relationship stuff from other relationships that kind of went, you know?
I think more she is than I am, actually, with that.
Okay, well, then I would say, number one, extreme patience is in order with any relationship. It's a lot of work. You got to just accept that. You're starting that journey when you do that, when you level with her and get open and honest. So honestly, my friend, I would say you're going to have a good relationship with her. Just go in there and open up, and then just listen, really listen to her. And another thing that just my experience, of the ladies, when they start talking and complaining about things, usually they just want men to listen instead of solve the problem for them. So, one thing I've learned is just shut up and listen and go, I feel where you're coming from. And I think you're going to be really good at it personally. So.
You must be married, right, John?
No, I'm actually, I was married about 10 years ago. Been through a couple of girlfriend relationship type things. Of course, I didn't have any boyfriends. No, it's not me, but bottom line, I've had a couple of relationships, and I'm on the market. Although there is one lady out there in the audience who is kind of making it clear she would like to get to know me better, and I'm looking at that. So
I think you can do it. You give such great advice, Sean. I mean, I got to be a man, and I just got to put it on the table right in front of him.
It really is the only way to go forward. This is the problem in psychic readings and stuff. When you do, when you're looking at relationships, it's like, I'm really good with dead folks. You know, they come through clear. I get symbols. I do all that. But when I get these, it's like the only thing I can do is reach in my tool bag of my past life experience. Right. So I hope it helped you, man.
Yeah, definitely. Great advice, and I'm going to do it. So can I ask you then a medium question?
Yeah.
I'm wondering, I have a friend on the other side. His name's Joe. Is maybe he around? And I don't know why, how he passed away, and he was very young, actually. He was about 23, 24, and
Is this in the last, I'm sensing last 5 years?
Did he
pass in the last one?
Yes.
Is that about the time frame?
Yes.
Okay. He was was he not at home?
Correct, he was not at home, right.
Okay. I'm not getting back. It seems like it's not an accident. Is it some medical thing? Like he had a heart problem, or?
That's what I think. I think it was something with his heart, but I think he might have been doing drugs. I think he might have been doing steroids, and I think it I think his heart couldn't handle it.
Yeah, I've got a real mixture of a very confused, kind of a confused thing with him. Was he, how far away was he from you when this happened, when you got the word on here?
I'm in New York, and his folks are here. His family is in New York, but he went to Florida, so it happened in Florida.
God darn. You're not related to him. You're just friends with him, right?
Yeah. Correct.
Your best friend. Did you get any sense of him trying to come through for you at all? Little things happening around the house about the time he passed?
Honestly, I don't recall. I honestly don't recall. It was about 4 or 5
years.
Well,
the sense I get of him is that he was pretty confused. And it was kind of a difficult transition for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's basically okay now. Has he been on your mind quite a bit in the last,
I think about him often. Every time I go by his cemetery or something, I definitely think of him. So I always say hi to him.
That's good. The thing I'm getting is he's pretty well, situated. He's comfortable now. He's had time to integrate and all that. The thing that he will benefit from is if you keep doing what you're doing, keep talking to him. But he is around, and I think if you were to ask him, after the show and you're getting ready for bed tonight, say a little prayer for him. And what happens when people do prayer with this kind of thing is that they will bring through spirit that maybe you haven't thought about for a while, but you start paying attention to them and start kind of talking to them. It really helps their soul growth, and the fact that somebody is taking time to remember them is going to really help a lot. Now, was he down there single? Was he single?
Yes.
Okay. But I'm getting girlfriend. Was there like a girlfriend? Was there a significant other?
Well, she was kind of here still. And he always kind of, he was young. He's about 10 years younger than me. So, my advice to him was don't stay with one girl now. You got to go out and see what's out there. And so he kind of broke up with this girl and that stayed here. And he probably shouldn't have. And he always kind of told me, he's like, you told me to break up with her. I was like, no, that's not exactly what I said. So, it was a girl here that he probably shouldn't have broke up with. So,
well, yeah, if it were me, I would. Are you still in contact with her at all, or do you know how to get in contact with her?
No, I don't. I don't.
Okay. Well, do you still talk with the family?
Once in a while, yeah, his sister.
I would. Just kind of broach the subject, ask about how things have been since, your friend passed, and to see if, just ask what happened with Joe, has anything been happening that, did they get any strange experiences? Did anything start happening?
Mm-hmm.
What their experiences have been of it? Just kind of broach the subject in a kind of a safe way. Maybe just say, hey, how are you doing, since I haven't talked to you since, I saw, Joe or this and that. You can come up with the right thing, but broach it. And I got a feeling he will have made some appearance to them. I think he really has tried. So give that a shot. But honestly, the sense I get of him is perfectly okay on the other side, doing well. I think you're in good shape. Just keep talking with him.
Okay. Do you think it was his heart, though?
I think you were more right on. I was picking up heart, but
right.
I think that he had, if you were saying the drugs, I think, because I was getting a confused picture with that. I couldn't quite figure it, because I was going, accident? No, medical.
Right.
And I'm going, which is it? And then finally I just said, okay, I'll go with medical.
Right.
But
well,
I think it was a kind of accident. I think he did something to himself stuff.
He might have OD'd because he was down in Florida in rehab and he was trying to clean himself up. So supposedly he was clean, but then he was definitely doing steroids because he got really big the last time I seen him. So I didn't know if the steroids actually gave him a heart attack. I think he had a heart attack. That's what I think. So.
Steroids are known for causing all sorts of side effects, including heart issues and timing issues and things like that. So yes, I would tend to think that that may have played a role, especially if he was getting stuff that's not under the strict medical supervision. So I think he that was just the way it was going to be with him, and he was, the sense I get of him is he's just a real damn the torpedoes, consequences be damned kind of guy. So he learned the hard way, and now he's the thing I get with him is he's helping people on the other side that are that kind of pass the same way with drug activity.
Right.
That's what I get with him.
He was in rehab, but he was also like a counselor there, and he was trying to help other people, other addicts trying to recover. So he was working in that.
Oh, really? He was a counselor. Yeah, well, I think it would be a natural thing for him to follow up on then. He's actually just doing that and helping people, that do, pass that way. It's, there's nobody to help them like somebody who's been through it. So they can, he can speak the language. Well, but I hope that helps you.
Yeah, thank you so much, John. I appreciate your time.
Okay.
Great show.
Okay,
and great
a lot.
Advice. I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going to be a man, John. I'll call you back. I'll let you know what happened.
Let me know. I'll call in next Friday or two and tell me what happened, okay?
Okay, John. Thanks a lot. I'll be listening online. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Take care. Bye now. Okay, and let's take a look at the wow. We got a full plate here tonight. Let's see. We got Blue Goose. Hi, Blue Goose. BTR's most hated on. BTR, you're really well liked. Come on. I mean, people love you. We can just say most hated in a kind of way. Dan Adams is here. Fire Witch. Hi, Joy. Big hug to you. Grand Elf, guest 19759-3421 is here. And let's see, guest 19933 is here. 19933. Genie 4461. Come on, Gene. What does 4461 stand for? I don't know. Let's see. People hate me everywhere I go, but we really like you here, so come on, let's see. We got Mother Jerry, one of a kind. Got Thomas is out there. Got a lot of callers waiting here. I'll just read this off quick. Sherry 9 and Veronica B. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and take the 936 caller. And 936, you're on the air.
Oh, my God, am I on the air?
You're on the air, Pilgrim.
Have you been, John?
Is this Thomas?
Of course it is.
Oh, hell. How have I been? I went out today, and I've been out getting outside. My doctor told me to, get out there with the and do something, kind of physical. So I took up metal detecting. And so I went out and worked my butt off today, metal detecting, and it really works you out. And I'm nice and sore, and my back is all moved all over the place. And I made some money, found a few things, and just had a grand old time out there. And got some sunshine, so I feel pretty good. Yeah, yeah. Didn't find any Sasquatch bones, no Sasquatch bones, but found some Sarah Change. How are you doing?
Oh, man, here lately my life has not been my own. And today's my birthday, and it's been crazy.
It's really been today's crazy. Today's your birthday?
Yeah,
my mother's
41
birthday
years old
is tomorrow. Today. Oh, my mom's 72 tomorrow. So, it's it seems like the Aquarius night here. Yeah, and then we got, Debbie Caruso passed, this same day. So, what's going on with you? What are you doing these days?
Well, I'm still doing my show, and when BTR started their corporate mentality thing of wanting to charge everybody, I didn't get upset. I went ahead and ponied up and got the promotional offer, and I thought, I'll do this for a couple of months or something. But I sat here because I never really wanted to do my own show. It was kind of dumped in my lap, and I was sitting here and I closed my eyes because I know that there's souls all around me constantly. And I said, okay, you guys are on the ball now. I said, if you want me to continue this show, you're going to have to find a way for me to come up with a whopping $29 a month to pay for this damn show, because I don't want to do the show. So it's really up to you. And half an hour after I opened my mouth and inserted my foot, customers started calling me for my computer repair service here at my house. And so it's been like that ever since the last week in December. I've had at least two computers walk through the door every week since the last week in December. So I've got enough money to pay for the show. It's like, wow, my life really isn't my own. Okay, you guys, I'm going to just start referring everything to you guys from now on. When I get confused about something, I'm not going to worry about it a bit. I'm going to put it in your hands, and you guys can take over.
Well, I got to tell you something that happened, because on a similar vein, when I went down sick with this whole thing, I kind of put it out there. I said, look, I just told Spirit, okay, I'm going to work on myself, and the show could kind of go where the show goes. I'll do the best I can until I start feeling, you know, kind of like I'm back to my old self. I'll do it whenever I feel like doing it. And that's kind of how it's been until this moment. And I said, when the time comes, you know, you've got to make a pretty good sign that I, you know, kind of tells me to get off my butt and get back in the seat and get back to work. And so I kind of just let the paranormal go. I just took a real break from it. And didn't even go on any investigations. I've only done, I just had another thing move here in the studio by itself. I've been having, we've had a lot of paranormal activity. They're agreeing with me, thank you. But what ends up happening is yesterday, I'm sitting in the guest bedroom because I'm not fully moved back into my place yet, and I've been watching over my dad, who's just had an operation this week. And you know, my mother all of a sudden comes running in, and she says, John, there's a spirit in the hallway. And I go, what? Because she's medium, too, and where do you think I got it from? And I said, you're kidding. And so I grabbed the K2 and hauled out of there. I didn't get time to grab a voice recorder, but I haul out there, and I walk right into this, actually a cold spot, and it felt like a wind was coming through. And my mother's looking at me bug-eyed, and she says, what's going on here? And I said, well, we got a spirit. And I walked around, and wherever I walked, it kind of moved away, and you could feel like a substance there. And she was pressing her hands in, and could said it felt like kind of like spongy, like you could actually feel a little something pushing back, and it had like an electric field around it. All the arms of our the hair on our arms was sticking straight out, and I stood back and I said, oh. And I started thinking about who could it be, and I got the feeling immediately it was Debbie Caruso coming through. And, you know, who better to come to me and say, get off your butt and get back to work than her. So, I know about the thing of manifestation real well. And she kind of jumped all over me, and I said, oh, yeah, I got to do the show about her. And I thought she passed on the 23rd, but it turned out it was today a year ago. So, it's been pretty active in the house ever since that moment. We've been seeing shadows and all sorts of activity. It's like it just came on gangbusters. So I got my sign to be back in the damn game. So here I am, guys. I'm back. And it'll be two shows a week, back to normal. And, with some changes, I mean, things, of course, change. Now it's Soulstream. It's not GRI Paranormal, although you'll hear me say that occasionally still. But, hey, man, you've got two computers a week. Now, what are you going to do with your show?
Well, tonight I had a hereditary chief on the show out of Canada was telling everybody where he's going with life and where life's taking him, that kind of thing. And so I've had a whole lot of American Indians on my show here lately. So it's been very interesting trying to keep my head above water with that. I had a Zuni elder on this last week with a Cherokee woman. And then, what was it? I think it was the very next night on Friday night, I had a Japanese man who's in Dulce, New Mexico, talking about underground bases and UFOs, that kind of stuff. And then tonight I had the hereditary chief on with a Cree elder. And so it's just, and I don't know how I get these guys. It's not like I really try. I just send out an email saying, hey, would you like to be on my show? And they're like, well, yeah. And I'm like, oh, that was easy. So
people are, You know, it's funny with hosting the shows. I go on radioguestlist.com. It's a free service, and you just post, you know, what your show's about, and they come flocking to me. So I mean, I get them all the time, and then if it's somebody, you know, some author I've read, I'll just write them a letter, and it's amazing. You know, the worst thing they can tell you is no, or they just don't answer you back, and then you just say, well, the hell with them, you know. I mean, come on, some good taste to talk to me. You know, but yeah, I mean, it's really easy to do that kind of thing, and you do get some interesting folks, and sometimes it comes from the weirdest places. They just walk through the door. And you get the darndest connections bring the best guests to you, you know.
Yeah, like I said, the only conclusion I've come to is that my life is not my own, because I'm not trying to do any of this stuff. It's just happening all around me, and I'm just trying to keep my head above water. So,
I hear you on that. This whole experience of the last year, if you know, in reminiscing about everything that's happened and the changes that we've gone through here, just with this show, has been just an earthquake per month. You know, I mean, I started with originally with a co-host, you know, in the beginning of 2010, who basically went off to do her own show. And, you know, then I got in with, Distant Echoes and Kathy, and that's turned into just a grand partnership. Now, she's kind of had to move off a bit because she's taking in all these other shows to help her. But I'm on with her every, Thursday nights at 8 o'clock still. So, you know, we still continue to work with each other, and that's going to continue. But, you're right about things not being your own. You have choice. You know, in these things, I mean, you have a direction where you want to take it, but in your case, it seems to me like you're feeling like it's kind of surprising you.
it's a little daunting. I guess daunting would be a good word to use, or overwhelming, because you know the unattainable dream for me that I've tried to attain ever since I've been in this sagging skin suit is just to be fat, dumb, and happy. And I can almost get there, and then all of a sudden I get jerked back into something else. And so fat, dumb, and happy is the unattainable dream for me. And all you people out there that are living the fat, dumb, and happy dream, I envy you. And I say that with conviction. Sorry, I had to say that.
Oh, don't worry. Hey, life is full of challenges. Getting up in the morning sometimes is harder, you know, some days than others. I mean, like we just took my dad in, here 2 days ago for surgery, and he gets to go back for another one in March. And what we found out was they were scared to go in and do it more than they did on this, because at the beginning they were worried about him being in too long because he's on such tight medication schedules, because he could seize, and it's really tough. But the good news is what they found was the tumor that he has is not cancer. And thank God. I mean, I came out of there just like, you know. So, I mean, you look at the way life can go. You know, I mean, he keeps dodging bullets. And we keep being amazed at what he can do, you know, my father. And he keeps surviving these things. And, I'm just like ecstatic. I mean, the fact that we get to keep him longer. Because I was really convinced on this one that we had, you know, a real problem going on that was going to be, you know, real tough. And so it's a little easier now. So you look at the things that can go wrong and you go, oh, you know. To me, the last 3 years have been just an abject study in life and death and really living your love, you know. So in your case, I think your best days are ahead on this, you know. You're a really good host, and you interview well, and you know, we did the shows together on the Wednesday nights for a while there, and you're a very smart man. So, yeah, I see great things with you.
I make no claim for myself, but that I'm a simple man just trying to live a simple life. That's it. But I was wondering if I could impose upon you tonight.
Oh God, impose away.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to do the slipstream or you want to do this through mediumship or through cards, or maybe roll the dice and see what comes up. But a friend of mine passed away back in December, and
okay.
She's on the other side, and she's made herself known to me in various ways. Her name was White Song Eagle. She was of the Miami Nation of Indians in Indiana. And I'm wondering if there's anything you might be able to get through from her.
Miami, that's the strangest thing I've ever heard. Miami Indians, and mm-hmm. she's where? The Miami tribe
is in Indiana.
Indiana. White Song Eagle. I'm going to do mediumship with it. And she passed in December. Was this a disease thing? Was this something that
she had some things going on in her body like everybody does when you get to a certain age. She had back problems because she'd had surgery on her back. And she just had general ailments, nothing specific. And
Was it sudden, or was she just, you know, the sense I get was this was kind of a long-standing thing?
You know, all I can say is she was as big a drama queen in death as she was in life. And I say that with loving affection towards her, but her family hadn't heard from her in 3 days. And so her sister-in-law went over to check on her. And, you know, it's cold in Indiana because it's way up there up north. And they found her sitting on a bench in her backyard. And because it's cold, her body was frozen. It was frozen in that exact moment when she left. And there was a total look of peace on her face. And I thought, that is such a drama queen move to sit there and leave in a moment of peace. No pain on the face, no lingering. Just, what a drama queen. Thanks.
The drama queen thing, I can understand it if she, that was a mannerism in her life, but to me that's just such a beautiful thing, the way she did that, you know? To me it's dramatic, to say the least, I mean, especially for the person finding her, you know, but if you stop and look at someone who's passed, you know, and you see a look of peace, so that's such a common experience with a lot of deaths. Where you see someone who has, you know, really kind of come to terms of, or just hit a moment where they, you know, just suddenly leave like that, and to have that not be some, you know, some horrible look, you know, that's actually kind of a comforting thing, you know, because I think she really was worried on her higher level that she didn't want to be found in a really bad way, you know. But the sense I get of her is she was really prepared for this. You know, she was not, you know, I think there was something more going on, to be honest with you. I really think there was more of a disease thing going on, and she was somewhat aware of it, but she, basically didn't want to face it. That's just the feel, you know, it's like she was more ill than she looked. And so she just took it in stride, and when it happened, it happened. But the thing I get with her now is she's absolutely integrated on the other side, no trouble at all. I don't think she's the kind that's going to come through and try to rattle everybody's cage, moving things around to get attention, you know, at that, you know, where she's at right now. But I think she's basically waiting to make her appearance, is the sense I get with her. I don't think she's done anything with family, although she may. The only thing I think that she's done, if she did do anything, I think she did do something with someone in dreams, but that's about it. Mainly to say goodbye. And did she have daughters or daughter?
She had a son.
Daughter. Is it a son?
She had a son, and you can put White Song Eagle in Google and see the books that she wrote. I had her as a guest on my show twice because she wrote a book called Teluk, outlining her experiences with a Sasquatch male there in Indiana.
Huh.
So she lived a very full life.
Well, I'm going to... How old was she when she passed? Was she like 60s, 70s? Or was it more?
59. She's 59.
59? 59. Yeah. You know, I said daughter, and I'm going to kind of stick with daughter. I think there was more going on with her than she met the eye. But, you know, there's always, you know, stories and strange things with people that, you know, you find out after they go. But if it's not a daughter, it's going to be somebody like a daughter, okay?
Well, let me tell you something, John. I mean, we're in the paranormal show tonight, so I may as well just go totally paranormal on you. She had her first Sasquatch experience and extraterrestrial, off-worlder experience, whatever you'd like to call them, when she was 5 years old. And she recalls distinctly being on board a spaceship in detail with a child Sasquatch next to her. And later on in life, as she became an adult, she encountered this Sasquatch female again because she was the mate of the Sasquatch male that she wrote a book about, Teluk.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Hang on. It's going to get better.
Okay.
When she was 24 years old, she was pregnant, and they had done an ultrasound because they had just started doing ultrasounds to where they could see the gender of the child at that time, and she was pregnant with a female child. But at around 7 months, she woke up early one morning, and she wasn't pregnant anymore. And there was no evidence of a miscarriage or anything. So the child was taken out of her body.
Well, then that would be basically what I'm picking up on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then...
we're getting way out there now, John.
Well, you know, I'm not the kind to run from that because, for one, you know, I've had people around me that I'm close to who have had UFO experiences and have seen things. I haven't had that experience yet myself, but I have seen a couple of objects I couldn't quite identify, but I can't, you know, say that they were extraterrestrial craft. They were just something I couldn't identify. And yet with my experience, you know, me, of course, with my experience of doing the work I do and the familiarity I have with aircraft, I should have been able to identify it, so I'm still kind of scratching my head. Big triangular-shaped thing. A couple of times I saw them the same night. So that I've seen that, and I have seen some of the planes that, you know, have drawn these contrails on the sky that were weather modification planes, which I was real sure of what I was seeing. But when it comes to UFOs, though, you know, the universe is, about 13.75 billion years old. And, you know, you got to be out of your mind if you think that some other civilization has not cracked star travel. You know, it's totally doable. And we ourselves are very near to that point. So I think, you know, if not already. But I just don't see that some of these stories are not that, I don't think they're that far out. Especially with the Native American traditions with Sasquatch and UFOs constantly being seen in the skies, these things are very real and they interact with human beings, and they've been doing that for thousands of years. And it's very likely that in our distant past that we were interfered with and continue to be so. So, yeah. I've been looking at that for 30 years, my friend, and to me it's just amazing that you know, modern science doesn't look at this a little more objectively, considering the fact that there are pyramids you know, throughout the world that are remarkably alike, you know, with you know, stones weighing 1,000 tons that were joined with laser precision, you know, that even our best technology today can't match. So come on, people are going to tell me that there haven't been help, you know, some help coming in. Yeah, right. So I believe that, you know, your friend had some of these experiences, you know, so yes. And
that's why I brought it up, because you said you were picking up on a daughter and she never knew her daughter because her daughter was taken away from her before she gave birth to her daughter.
Well, you know, when you pass, you know, you do appear to the people that you love most and that you had a connection to. So, you know, yeah, she had a son on this side, but I was really kind of unsure about it when I said daughter, but I thought, I'm going to go with it. But, you know, that daughter, wherever she is, you know, it may be in another world, who knows. But to me, when you pass, distance doesn't matter anymore. You're still connected to those people. no way of verifying, you know, that connection at this point. I mean, you know, we don't know where this daughter is, but, you know, I just get the feeling she did the mission she came in for, and she's real satisfied with what she did. But I think the way that she passed was absolutely poetic. Drama queen, yeah. I don't know, but poetic would be my word. Yeah, I
say drama queen because I was friends with her, and we used to kid with each other like that about certain things. So that's why I say drama queen. And it was kind of frustrating for me when she passed, and I learned about this because I'm sitting here going, okay, I'm mad at you because, you know, you're over there where I want to be, and I'm still stuck over here. What up with that? So
you're going to get a sign, you know, honestly, just like what happened with me here a couple of days ago. Don't think that there won't be something done for you there. The fact we're talking about her, she's already aware of that. So they have a way of coming through for us when we start talking about them, or and do prayers, you know. I mean, you know how to do little rituals and things that'll get her attention. So I think you're gonna hear from her if you haven't already. So, but I tend to think she will be making herself known. So, well, hey,
well,
my friend.
The first thing that happened, I'll just tell you this. I know you want to go on, but I just want to tell you this. There's a song called "The Call," and it's the last song that they play in a movie called Chronicles of Narnia, Prince Caspian. I'm sure you've seen that movie.
I've heard, you know, I haven't seen it yet, but I will take a look at it.
Yeah, if you just put in "The Call" and the word Narnia and YouTube, you'll find the song. But I'd heard that song before, and I really like that song. And all of a sudden, in December, I was brought to that song again, and I started listening to it. And the words in that song really hit home for some reason, and I just sat here and started crying. And I couldn't understand why. And that's before I had heard that she had passed. And then I got word that she had passed on, and then it made perfect sense as to why I was attracted to her. Because I'm pretty sure that she steered me towards that song.
I would agree with that, and the fact is, you know, you do have some medium tendencies. You do know that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay, well, you know, it's just learning to read the signs, and even the most experienced mediums will tell you that they miss things, you know, and especially with, you know, especially the things closest to them. It's like I do real good with reading people who are not close to me. I don't read my own family very much because it's just so hard to do that, but worse yet, try to read yourself. Oh my God, you know. So yeah, it's not out of character at all to have something so personal, so close to you. You kind of miss what happened until it slaps you across the face with real truth, and then you go, oh, that's what that was. So yeah, no, absolutely makes sense. So
yeah,
Do you remember
last year in February when I called your show and you did that slipstream with me on that young woman that had passed?
I remember something about that, but refresh my mind, because I remember when we first started interacting, and I'm trying to, you know, give
yeah,
you the particulars. Because
she was, her family was from Peru. She was she was full-blooded Peruvian, and you know, I felt her come to me, and I wasn't getting the messages quite correctly, and I was busy with something on the computer, and I told her, because I didn't know who it was, and I said, look, you're going to have to find some other way to validate to me who you are, because I'm just not getting it. And I went back to what I was doing, and it was the next day that my friend in North Texas called me to let me know that she had passed. She was 32 years old and had a 9-year-old son that she left behind. I'd known her since she was 13 years old, and that's why she came to me so quickly, and I just didn't, you know, I wasn't getting the messages clearly from her, and that's, you know, but it all went clearly after my friend told me that she had passed, and then, of course, I called you, and we did that slipstream with your machine there.
Oh, that's what I've been trying to, you know, I know what we're talking about now. Slipstream,
yeah.
You know, we're soul stream.
Yeah.
We soul streamed it. Yeah, it was slipstream. Did I do time travel at that time? You know, I'll tell you something with Peruvian people that I've discovered. I have somebody who's a Peruvian that I work with. She comes in and she cleans our offices where I work, and she's just one of the most evolved people I've ever met. She does this, you know, she has absolutely, she smiles, it's like the sun comes in. And, you know, it doesn't matter that she's doing this job that, you know, is, you know, by some people's standards, a low-paying job, you know, not important at all. But she's not there. She's doing, you know, when you talk to her, it's all about her kids, you know. And, you know, so you really get to see into kind of the way they are as a people. Very noble, very very down-to-earth, practical. But one of the best smiles, when I see Peruvians smile, I just get amazed. I mean, they're just a very amazing, long-lived, you know, amazing civilization that is still around. And they're very highly evolved. And they have a lot of UFO contacts there in their part of the world, and they really know a lot more than they let on. There's a lot going on in the Andes that, you know, is not talked about. And so I don't know what your friend was like there, but, you were lucky to know her.
Yeah, I was. And like I said back then, and I've said it ever since, or for a long time anyway, if she'd have just been a little bit older, or if I had been a little bit younger, I think we might have ended up having a life together. But it didn't quite work out that way, so.
Okay, well. Well, hell, my friend, I've got a full board here. Got to get some other folks in the door. But you want to just listen in? I'll just keep you on the phone here, and just put you on hold. Or do you want to, you know, go ahead and hang up?
I'll go ahead and hang up and just listen over the computer.
Okay, Thomas. Well, hey, give me a call next week. All right.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, my brother. Take care.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. And let's see, boy, we got a bunch of you guys in today. It's a nice full show, and, you know, maybe Saturday nights are a good time to do this. Let me see, we got a 352 caller, and I see, I'll read off the area codes in the order I see, 352-253, and that's a kind of interesting thing, 973, and then I think Kathy might be on 757, so I'm looking at that, but I'm not sure that's her number. I haven't seen her number in forever. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take 352. You're on the air here with Soul Street.
Hi, John.
Hi. Yep, that's me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sitting here in my chair, I'm back in the saddle there, girl.
I'm enjoying listening to this. I really am. This is really interesting. Okay. I'm going to echo just a little bit of your first caller, Tom. But I'm not going to ask you if I should get married to Lori or not. sorry.
No problem.
Okay. I was wondering if you could use your mediumship abilities, because I'm kind of interested in the gentleman, and his name is Jack, and he lost his wife. I don't know a whole lot of the details because it's very early in this relationship. But I know that he hasn't dated. He's just starting to get out there. But it really seems like he has got an attraction to me, but he's still kind of standoffish. And I want to, you know, is there any way that you can, I don't even know his wife, his past wife's, I don't know her name. I don't know anything about her. I just know that, you know, I'm the first one out of the gate.
Oh,
and,
boy.
Has it been
like 2 to 3 years since this happened, that she passed? Or do you know anything about?
I know absolutely nothing, because whenever I've tried to ask, he's very, you know, it's kind of like I'm not ready to talk about that. He'll talk about everything but that. So, I'm pushing it for that reason.
Well,
I'm like, okay.
Okay, this is the kind of relationship thing that I'm geared to do, okay? Number one, you know, this is kind of a thing where you have mediumship and in practical knowledge of human, you know, human behavior, especially male behavior. When men lose somebody close to them, there's this thing they call the man cave, and they get real comfortable in it, and they slam the door on everything. And it's like to avoid that kind of pain, you know, they'll slam the door so hard, not even light can get out. It's just a raw thing with him. And you're trying to go in there and bring it up. Maybe it's something that's going to take time. The thing with a man like this is to be patient, because he's going to reveal in his own good time when things happen, and kind of in the order he wants to do that. So pressing him for details is probably not the thing to do, especially with regard to your relationship with him.
Okay.
Yes, he is interested in you. Yes, you know, there is that thing there. The problem is just right off the bat, his ex, you know, his wife that passed. I'm getting like an accident, but I don't think that it was immediate after the accident. I'm just not sure about the nature of her passing, but I get it. It was not something that it was bad, and then it got worse, you know, in a fairly short time. And the thing I'm getting about it is that he still feels married to her, and it's really hard for him to separate that. And the fact you're in the mix is now she's having to deal with her, confront those emotions and those feelings. So that's really, you know, and I'm really pulling in from her, because she's just really, the sense I get with it is that it's a really delicate situation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how long have you known him? Has it been 6 months, you know, or a little bit
yeah.
longer? Than 6 months?
Yeah, give or take, right in there.
Okay, so he's, you know, he's starting to wake up to the idea, and his little antenna are out going, oh, you know, there is another life here. But he's just taking the first little baby steps to realizing he's not married. Now, is he still wearing the ring, or is that gone?
No.
Oh, he's not wearing it anymore?
No.
Okay, well, I got to tell you, it may be off of him, but you know, he might as well have it grooved on there. You know,
right.
That's kind of the sense I get of him. He's just the poor guy. He's just not over it. You know, it's a
that I know. He works a lot of long hours, so he doesn't have to think. You know, and
I'll tell you what, I didn't have, you know, when my marriage ended, you know, it was the same as a death to me, and for 4 years, I just didn't want to think about it at all. I just, no, I didn't date, I didn't do anything, I just wanted to leave it alone. And that's kind of the way it is with guys, and, you know, the women that, you know, try to love them, you know, it's the hardest on you, because you're kind of on the outside. It's really not fair to you. But the rewards are that if you're patient, you know, and just give it time and don't press him, you know, he'll tell you when he's ready. And when he does, he'll look at you and say, she was really patient, you know, and suddenly he'll start opening up. And then when you just take it in and don't press on him, those things will go well. And I get the sense of him I get is he's just such a private individual. He's not. He would like to do more and go faster with you, but he's just caught in a time warp. And, you know, and I think that his wife will appear to him and kind of tell him it's time to move.
Right.
You know, and you can actually have a conversation with her. This is a practical technique, too, that is real good to do. Tell her how much you care about him. Talk to her woman to woman. And tell her that you are there to help him get over this, and that you understand that she had to transition and move on. It will do a lot to help the situation, you know, and it may kind of speed things up a little. But I would see you in about a 9 to 12 month growth period with the relationship, and just give it time. You know, date, be happy, take what you get. And I think if you're just constantly there and are just being yourself and being who you are, he'll begin to it'll start cracking that shell, and it'll be a wonderful relationship. So,
and you know what, I think you echo pretty much everything that I was feeling in my heart anyway, and so that's good. I like that.
Well, do the talking thing with her. You know, absolutely, totally, 100% okay to speak to her, and she will listen, and you will likely get some impressions back. Take a notepad out, and when you start seeing little symbols in your mind, or let's say you have the conversation in about a for about a week, have a pen and paper set out, and the minute you start getting little impressions that are not, you're going, where did that come from? That's usually that's what mediumship is. You'll get little impressions, and you'll get little symbols. You'll get little ideas that suddenly go, where did that come from? That's mediumship. Welcome to the universe. You know, and what will happen is you'll start developing that yourself. And it's a practical technique that you can actually engage in this. You don't need me. You know, although I do this, and it's great fun. I love doing this, and I help people with it, and I help myself. But, you know, you can make it a practical part of your life, and it will really help you. So, but
okay. Can I ask you one more thing having nothing to do with this, but something that Thomas says? Could you please explain to me what slipstream is? What is that?
Okay. Well, he used kind of a Texas euphemism for soul stream. And what Soulstream is to this show tonight is dedicated to Debbie Caruso, who
I
is a famous EVP, famous EVP researcher, a good friend of mine on the other side. She practiced EVP and ultimately ITC, which is instrumental transcommunication. And ITC is the ability for evolved spirits on the other side to come through and affect our electronic gear. And actually be, you know, in such a way that we can hear them. And it's really one of the things that is just amazing to me is now that we're in the 21st century and as early as the middle of the 20th century, this stuff started becoming apparent that we were actually getting communications from the other side. And it's become quite advanced. We've gotten really good at it. And we're still learning a lot. You know, there's times, you know, where it doesn't come through so good. Other times it comes in great. And the thing is, I was talking with Kathy one day, Kathy Bradshaw, brain dead here, my co-host. And she said, John, you know, they're telling you you need to come up with a name for this. And I kind of meditated for a week, and all of a sudden it came to me. And it really was their doing, not me. I wish I could claim it. But they said, you'll call it Soulstream. So Soulstream it is, and that's what we do. We stream souls from the other side.
Okay, got
so
it.
That's
all
what
right.
we do. Okay.
I kind of thought that was it, but I thought, no. No. All right. Got
okay.
It. Thank you
all
for
right,
clarifying that. Have a good night.
Okay. You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye now. Okay, 10:06, and you know what? We're gonna muscle this thing through, and you know, Debbie is here with us. I've been getting signs in the studio, all sorts of little things going on, cold spots appearing around me. I'm getting welcomed back to the game, guys. Metal detecting and all, it's amazing. And matter of fact, you know, that spirit that came through Debbie being in there yesterday really kind of got me back in the game, and I'm just thanking her. So she's around, and I got a few knocks. If you guys want to knock again in here, I'd sure love that. And the chat room is on fire. We got a lot of guests out there. People are saying nice things about me. Quinny, I love you too. And Sherry, I love you. And Mother Jerry, I love you. Let's see. We got 253 and 973. So I'm going to go ahead and take those in the order. And we lost the 757. So if you want to call in a little bit later, 757, we'll get you back. 253, you're on the air.
Hi, good evening.
It's a good evening, too, to you. Yes.
Thank you.
Hello. What can we do for you, and who are you?
My name is Allison, and I'm wondering if you take any questions, do you address any questions, since this is my first time to hear your show.
I'll answer any. I'm one of those people you can just walk right up to and ask the darndest things, and you know, nothing surprises me. I'll shoot right back at you, and I'll tell you what I really think. So sure, go ahead. Give me your best shot.
Okay, well, maybe not my best, but I'll give you an adequate one. How's that?
Okay, adequate. we'll go from there.
Okay, I've got a couple of different options here for relocating. And it's a major move in either case, and it needs to happen and probably will happen, looks like May or June. And it's really to upgrade my life in all levels, in particular to get back into my career, but also just abundance in all areas of my life. I've had a really tough couple of years, really, really dark, dark time. So I'm wondering if you feel more strongly about going. I don't want to say the names of the towns because I want to keep it really neutral, but I don't mind telling you the names of the states if that helps you.
That would help.
Okay.
Yeah.
One one location is in Colorado, and the other location is in Utah.
And are you, where are you at right now? What are 253 area code, where is that?
That is in the state of Washington.
Washington, because I was getting east, and that was the one thing I was going, man, I'm not sure. I thought you were like in Virginia or something. I'm going, why am I getting east? Okay, so definitely, so I picked up on the east, the Colorado, Utah. The job, these two, is it for two different companies? Is that or organizations?
There is no job.
Okay.
I've been out of my career for almost, I hate to say how long it's been. It's been coming up on 7 years, and it's a real waste of my life the last 5 years. And so, part of the move is to go to a location where I have opportunity to get back into my career. There's no job offer. I have no idea what I'm going to do once I get to either of these destinations.
Wow, you are taking like the spin the bottle here, and
yeah.
That's
well,
a
no,
tough
no,
one.
Not really, because I've done a whole lot of research on both of these destinations. These were not pulled out of a hat. These were highly, highly researched.
Yeah, it's still, but you know, when you do a thing like that, when you get there, it's research, but when you get there, you know, the things that are going to happen, that's what I mean, spin the bottle. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Once you're there, reality hits, and you got to figure out what am I going to do next. So you sound like the kind of person who can deal with it. You know, you've got the courage to deal with it. I'm being drawn to Colorado, okay, in a big way with you. And normally I would not do a psychic thing like that. I'm a medium, but the thing I get with you is this pull to Colorado. And I don't know what you do, but that's the sense of it I get. So, you know, take it from there. Because I don't know what is it you do? I mean, what is your chosen career? You know, what do you want to do?
Writing. I'm an editor and a writer. Well, actually, I'm an editor and a writer by career, but I want to reverse that, and I want to be a writer and then do much less editing, because I'm very, very, very good at editing, and I'm so tired of doing it because I've done it for such a long time.
Well, you know, I've got family in Colorado, although, you know, I haven't spent a lot of time out there. I've been only there a couple of times just passing through the state, but the sense I get of it, I mean, you know, Colorado butting up right to Utah. You know, you're not far away on either one, but I just get a feeling that Colorado would be good for you. And I'm getting, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm getting southwest Colorado, kind of near Durango. Maybe a little bit.
Please don't ever send me. I had something happen in Durango. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to tell you if I never have to go in that direction again, I'll be down with that. You could not send me to a part of Colorado that, honestly. If that's all I'm going to say. No.
It's north. Is it north of? Is the place you want to go more north of it, but on the western side? Is it west of Denver? That's where I'm going. Is it west of Denver?
Let me think. Yeah, probably is. I'd have to be really answer with full authority. I would need to be looking at a map, but to my recollection, it is.
Yeah.
I'm actually thinking of going somewhere where I've never even been before, and it's not Durango. I can tell you, it's not Durango.
Okay. Well,
Durango, mind you.
Well, I did want to say, and I've been through Durango, and it's kind of like a gold rush town, and I was only there briefly because I was actually down in New Mexico, and I crossed over into there. But there's a bunch of when you drive through Durango, there's like this huge set of mountains up there, and it's just like something right out of a postcard. You know, when you go driving there, there's all sorts of beautiful territory to the north there, lots of little towns and hamlets and some cities in there. That's kind of the sense I get there. I was just saying Durango because it was the only thing I knew. I was just trying to get geographic area, not Durango. But that's kind of the sense I get of it. It's kind of in that general direction, but butting up towards Utah, okay? So it's in that area. But I just get a feeling it'd really be good for you. And it's really full of sights and really good people. I think you would do good there. Reaching out.
Even with the economy really starting to tank in Colorado, unemployment rate really, really, really climbing. Seriously up. Up, seriously up. I followed
you. Well,
even with you still feel like about it, huh?
I'm going to stick with the fact you're in proximity to Utah. You know, I'm going to cheat here, but I got a feeling that you have the option to be able to bail if it gets real bad. But I get a feeling with your writing, it really won't matter where you park it per se. You're just going to be able to, you'll be able to get the connections in and get known around the area, and I think you'll be able to do it. But you got to make the decision. You know, you can't just take what somebody says over the phone. You've done the research.
That's a given. There's nothing ever gets done in my life because somebody tells me what to do. That's definitely not my personality. So this is just it's like an objective outside point of view. But ultimately, I'll always follow my own guidance.
Now, tell me about the Utah thing. What's going on with this Utah deal?
Unemployment rate is much, 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 much less of a concern. I haven't had a job for more than almost 3 years. So I'm looking very, very, very closely at unemployment rates, and not only current rates, but how they've been tracking for the last year and a half. And the big plus in Utah is sunshine. I live in a very cold, gray, sunless climate. And Utah is the best weather I could possibly imagine, possibly have for myself right now.
Well, you know what? I'll give you that. My feeling would be go look at both. Actually, if you can find a way to do it, get out to both places that you want to check out, and give it a week at each one, and then see what you feel.
I wish you could possibly do it. I can't. The money, I can barely pay the rent, so the money for travel just isn't there.
If you're going to go with it, go with the one that you've done the research on. But I would not be surprised if there's going to be a Colorado connection. So, be aware that things have a way of happening with spirit the way that it's going to go. Go ahead and go with Utah and see what you get. But be aware, I just get the feeling you're going to have some business with Colorado.
That could be. It could be. And it's very possible I'll start off in Utah, get my body healed from the horrible, horrible years of dampness, and then head on over to Colorado. I'm very open to that possibility as well.
It's an amazing place. I do know what you're talking about with the weather. I considered in 1992 moving to Alaska. And I was interviewing with the Alyeska Pipeline Corporation, which they run the whole pipeline from Prudhoe Bay down to Valdez, and I was going to be flying telemetry missions, helicopter. And I got up there, I was born in El Paso, Texas.
Why?
And I got up there and I took about 10 steps off the plane and went, holy crap, this place is gold. And, and it was really good. I had a grand time. I saw things I couldn't believe, where the big earthquake happened in 63 and all that. I saw all kinds of amazing sights, toured Elmendorf Air Force Base, got to see the famous Red Star alleyway. For every mission Russian mission we've intercepted and turned back. Saw moose on the freeway, the whole bit. But I got to tell you, the weather. The last day we had a ice storm come in, and I finally learned what bone chilling cold really meant. And I don't blame you for wanting to get away from Washington State because I had family up there too.
I hate it.
So just trust your. I think go ahead and go with it. I just I just get a feeling you're going to have business with Colorado. Something there is going to do, you know, from the writing. But
yeah.
You know, go with your gut, you know, and trust the research. It's kind of a combination of both. You got to live it, not me.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah,
you know,
I know. By the way, before you hang up, I used to live in Las Cruces, so I know all about the just outside of El Paso. So, you know, I can appreciate the whole jump from Texas to up to Alaska as well. So.
Yeah, my dad did stuff for the Army, and, you know, he worked out Las Cruces way, and he took the shuttle back and forth, and, oh, my God, it was a very warm place, and so I'm kind of predisposed.
Well,
call back when you get situated and let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay, it'll be the middle of the year. All right, thank you very much.
Okay, God bless.
Okay, thank you, you too. Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Okay, we got one caller here, 973, and let's take a look at the chat room. Let's see, we got slightly fewer, but we've got retro movie chat. That's cool. Retro movies. We got KV9. Let's see, I should go from the top here. I can't even speak now. Got about 50 minutes remaining. Blue Goose, I got VTR's Most Hated, Daniel Adams, Fire Witch, I Joy, Gerber Daisy, TM, Gerber Daisy, TM is here. Jeannie Marie is here. Oh, she changed her name on me. I know what she did. She changed her name. KV9, what happened to the KV8s? Let's see, Mother Jerry, Quinny here. Hello, my dear. Retro Movie Chat, Sasquatch Spirit, Sherry 9. And I just get the feeling that lady is going to end up with a Colorado connection. There's just something that really drawn me with that, with her. I don't know, but she's going to be in Utah. So, okay, 973, you're on the air. Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, good evening. My name is Hiram.
Hello, Hiram.
Yes, sir. I was calling to wonder if, say, my ancestors or my ancestors or loved ones who have passed have any insight concerning my journalism career, which has been, over the past few weeks, it has actually been steadily increasing or booming, as we say. It's actually been flourishing, and I would like to know if you had any insight concerning that.
Well, now, you're talking about your ancestors, but I get a feeling it's more something with somebody who was close to you, who you knew in life, right? I mean, this is somebody, I would say there's one to two people very specifically that you're wanting that information from, right?
Actually, as a matter of fact, there are two in particular. One of them is not a relative.
Okay, but these are two people that you really had, you know, that you got respect for, right? You know,
right,
that you would want their opinion. Now, you're talking about things being good. This is kind of the first time I've had somebody call me about the things going good and wanting the perspective on what from the other side about that success, right? I mean, that's kind of the what I'm hearing you say. I'm not getting a name right off the bat, but I'm going to teacher. Why am I getting the word teacher? Was one of these like a teacher to you, or somebody that you had that taught you in the business?
Actually, the person I'm thinking of, I actually never met. The person I'm thinking of is an author, was an author and historian named J.A. Rogers. I never met him, but I grew up reading his materials, and over the past quite some time, I definitely studied him in depth over these past several months.
Okay, one of the things that happens when you basically have a very close relationship to this person, he's been passed for a number of years, I would take it, correct?
Yes,
so he's been gone.
He died maybe 11 years before I was born. He died in 1966 or 67.
Okay, then you are probably one of very few people, you know, who are actually, you know, conducting a relationship with him, you know, in an active way. Then there's probably a limited number of people that would be reading his work. Would I be correct on that? It would be kind of a specialty subject.
Well, in my circle, sir, I'm going to be honest with you, many people know who J.A. Rogers was in my circle, but I should say that the masses, the average person, wouldn't know who he is, but his books are all over the country, all over the world. You probably have
come
across his books, but I'm saying the average person wouldn't know him, but his books are, like I said, all up there across the country, across the world. He's written
okay,
several.
Then, but you're really in depth connected to him, right? I mean, so you feel like you really know him.
Yeah, actually,
you know,
I literally feel I feel his presence, you know, literally as I, you know, I must say that.
Okay, then, see, that's kind of the point I'm driving at. You're actually conducting a form of mediumship if you really get, you know, get down to it. When you study someone and you idolize them and you begin to, you know, form that relationship with them, little things start happening. And you, when you read their works and their words, because those are literally those are the living words that person put down, that it just becomes part of your psyche, and you're literally connecting to them. And it's just an amazing thing that happens. So you're feeling that, and you've already revealed that. So you're really you've got the relationship going on. The sense I get is he's very happy with what you're doing. But I get the feeling, the one words I get from him is caution. Use caution. The thing I get with him is take it as it comes, one step at a time. And this is exactly what I'm being told. One step at a time. Do not try to, just take this and run with it. Or because you have the potential for damaging the success you've already had. So take it as a long-term deal. That's kind of this guy, he's very measured. And I don't know any of his writing, but I get very measured with him. He's very wise,
I'm sorry, you said don't take it and run with it? You said set?
Take it as it comes. There's going to be highs and lows, just like what you're going through. And then there's going to be times when it's not going to go so good. But if you are serious about all the work you put in, which I really think you are, then you gotta just stay the course and really read the books that he's written. Reread them every year. Go back and look at what you've been looking at and take time to assess where you're at, because this is where he's coming from with me, with you. And what is basically what he's saying is you, Quinny wants to know, repeat the name, the name of the.
His name is J.A. Rogers, like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but J
okay.
as in Justice, A as in Alfred, J.A. Rogers.
Okay, got it. Now, and J, what's that, John?
J is Joel,
J-O-E-L,
and his middle name is Augustus Rogers, Joel
okay.
Augustus Rogers.
Okay, well, Joel, the way I get from him is he's just cautioning you, kind of like a father would be to a son, is just saying, reread the material, because just because you think you know it now, you in a year you're going to have new life experiences and you'll go back and reread it and you'll appreciate different nuances, and it's just kind of a pattern I've learned in my life with books that I really loved, and then I've gone back and I've looked at it and I go, how did I ever miss that? and that's kind of the sense I get with him, with you. And it's really a relationship. It's kind of a father-son thing. And I think that's kind of how you feel about him.
Yes, similar to that. I've been thinking about that because, see, I'm a historian as well as a journalist, as he was. And ironically, I didn't know that he was a journalist until literally like way after I had already been researching his works. But he was actually, first, he was the only African-American war correspondent during World War II. But he became, like I said, he was a journalist first, and then he began publishing his books. But with me, I'm a broadcast journalist. I'm on TV and radio, and I'm a writer. And right now, there's several news networks that are looking to hire me.
To
host the news.
It sounds to me like you've got a really good handle on it, and one of the things that is really encouraging is that you're trusting your instincts with him, and the relationships you've had, and the work you're doing, and you really sound ideally suited for what you're doing. The big thing with him is he had it hard. He didn't have this handed to him on a silver platter. He had to work for it. And he's kind of looking at you, and then, you've idolized him. You've gone through all the hard work to get where you're at right now, and you're a smart guy. You're taking it as it comes. Just be aware, really enjoy the good times, but when the bad stuff happens, look at it for what it is, and it's an opportunity for growth. And he's really kind of accentuating that. You know, that's the sense I get with him. And he just is like, he really went through some crap. And I don't know anything about the man, but what I know is he took some, I'm not going to say the word S, but you, I mean, yeah. He took some real, you know what, and he handled it gracefully, as gracefully as a human being could handle it, but he got through. And so, I, you know, I'll look him up and find out more about him. But, you know, the sense I get with him is extreme strength.
Thank you for your time.
Okay. Well, God bless you. Take care, my friend.
I wish you the same. Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. You too. All right. Got the board cleared. We got, 30 minutes remaining in the show. We've got... yeah, he is a very well-spoken man. I was really impressed with the intelligence, and he really cares about what he's talking about. I'm going to look up more on this author. It just strikes me because, you know, what he talked about with the World War II stuff, especially some of the fighter jocks that were up, you know, there was the first African-American Corps that went up in the Army Air Corps, and there was some real bad stuff that happened because those poor guys, you know, they got, you know, they went up and they actually did some amazing combat with the German, you know, Luftwaffe, and our own guys turned on their own, and it was really tough with the racism that was going on, and you know, they went through some real bad things. So I wish this man well with his journalism, and I didn't get a chance to mention the other person who I think was a woman coming through for him. And so I'm not sure who this woman was, but she was the way she presented to me was somewhere in her 30s, 30-ish, the way she presents, but I think she was older when she passed, close to him, close to this gentleman that called Hiram. So he got off before I could say that. So I just wanted to know. That's what came through. Let's see. I do have. Let me see. Going to think about what we want to go through next here. If anybody who does want to call, I think we did have a possibly Kathy out there, but I don't see her on. But, Joy, if you want to give a yell, I want to hear what Joy's up to these days. I haven't seen Joy in forever. Or Jeannie Marie, if you want to call in. You talk about calling in, but you never do. So call in and talk to me. And let's see, we've got I'm going to talk a little bit about Debbie and maybe run a session with the SB7. I've got this new SB7 device, and while I'm watching the call board here. This was an interesting acquisition. You know, I'm used to using the older radio set that we had, which was a Radio Shack Shack Hack. And what I did is I didn't like the fact that it tuned so slowly. And you know how on Ghost Adventures and some of the other shows like that, where, you know, they use these extremely high-speed scan rates with conventional radios that have been slightly modified or special built. Well, I've got one. I finally got one here in December. My little Christmas gift to myself was I managed to find one of the few remaining SB7 models out there, which was used on Ghost Adventures with Chris, and I never remember his last name, but he used to be on Dead Famous, things like that. So this particular model is PSB7, does extremely high rates of scan. Now, I have absolutely no idea how this is going to work, you know, if it's going to do a good job for us or not. But I've got to reach across to set this up. So I'm going to go ahead and start up with this session here. Jeannie Marie says, oh, you know, I'm not calling. I'm just listening. You may tell me things about those things I already know about myself that I care not to see or hear. Whoa, 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 wait a minute. What? You know you can't hide from that. You got to live with yourself. Good Lord, girl. You got to live with yourself. Okay, I'm going to reach over here, and I think I can do this. I'm going to move the microphone a little bit over, and I'm firing up the... Here we go. Don't recover. It's been so long since I've been on this computer. I've got to... And I'm going to run a quick check. So just bear with me, guys. All right. Let's just run a check to record that and see if it's coming through. Okay. I'm going to turn it off. Okay. So that's just the first. Yeah, we're getting some good audio. So I'm going to just try a session with Debbie Caruso. And this is Hiram. The woman you are sensing is my grandmother, Joan. And she passed January of 2009. Her and I were very close. Also, I did. Thank you, Hiram. Yeah, I was. You got off before I could say it, and I was like going, I got this woman. And yeah, she. And the way she's presenting is she's in her 30s, but I really think she was more a little bit older than that. I think that she was like 65 to 70 ish. Yeah, it's in that range. That's the sense I get of her. And it was. I think she was a long time going. It would be my sense of it. But yeah, you and her were very close. Yeah, and she's just like this constant presence. She really encourages you. So I'm glad you came back and let me know that, because I was kind of getting, I got this woman. I'm glad I'm kind of hitting it back. It's good to be back in the saddle again. I'm still, by gosh, I can still do this work. You know, I was sick there myself for a while, but good to be back. So Hiram, thank you for doing that. And so I'm going to go ahead and Jeannie is not going to call me. Jeannie, everybody encouraged Jeannie to call in. So anyway, I'm going to try a little session here. Got no callers, and so I got this time to do with what I want to do. Let's see. We're going to go ahead and try to get Debbie Caruso to come through, and we're going to try this new technique. Never before have we tried this. I'm going to run a one-minute track and then see what we get. Now, I am going to try switching mics because I want to move over a little bit. So I'm going to switch over to the other one. And, yeah, this still works. Good. Okay. So you guys can hear me. Let me know if you can still hear me. And I am going to be – I'm not on the normal mic. I'm on my secondary system, usually for the guests. But it's the way I've got the place set up. Still needs a little tuning. So we're going to go ahead and start this up. And here we go. And I'm going to do a one-minute session. And we'll start with sweep. Okay, so we're using, this is what I call 100 millisecond sweep. And we're going to go ahead and try this. I'm going to start 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Debbie Caruso, wanted to let you know we are trying this new technique, and I know you came through in my house here last night. Just wanted to see how you and Joey are doing. Was that you last night who came through? Are you going to be working with me in the near future to develop some new techniques here? Any last messages before I call it quits here? Okay, we're going to go ahead and end it. Okay, and so... Wow. Yeah, I heard some things in there. This is absolutely new to me, so I don't know what we're going to get here when I try doing some techniques here to enhance the audio. So I'm going to go ahead and apply what's called dynamic range compression on this, and we'll see what we get. So I'm going to start with the probably about 9 seconds in. We did about a minute nine, and let's see what we get. Well, Gerber, what it is this is the PSB7. It's a specifically built radio for this kind of work, which is ITC, instrumental transcommunication. If there's anybody who could appreciate what I'm going through with a brand new technique that never before tried on air, at least for us, it's Debbie Caruso. And since she's basically my equivalent on the other side, it's just great to have her as somebody who would come through and work with me. Now, I'm getting another cold sensation on my right side, extreme cold, And so I got a feeling she's like sitting there going, John, get to work. So I'm going to go ahead and play this 9 seconds to 12, which is, I think, kind of key in on where I was when I was recording here. Here we go. Okay, Joey being her son. So I'm going to go ahead and apply the first set of enhancements on. This is going from about 12 to 19 seconds. It's going to take a second to go ahead and run the compression and clean this up and see if I can get a little bit of ITC out of this. I'm going to do a little noise removal. And since this is so new to me doing it this way, I'm just going to run one noise reduction only. And just to see, so you guys are exploring with me as I do this. Okay, here we go. I'm going to go ahead and play about a 3 second burst, and I'm not even going to write this down. I'm just going to just consider this an experiment only. 12 seconds to 14, here we go. If it's anybody who would say something like that, what I'm hearing is Joey Bishop. And I talked about Joey, and then it's coming back with Joey Bishop. I think that's like a sense of humor coming through. That's funny. Emerald, it's basically a spirit box. That would be a good way to put it. This is a specially developed device to do instrumental transcommunication. That's what we're doing. We're actually allowing the other side to come through and interact with us on different devices that we have here in studio. Usually I'll use something like an Ovilus, which I have two different models of that. I also have the Shack Hack, which we got away from the scan rate like what we're doing tonight, because it's so slow on the Shack Hack boxes. This one does 100 millisecond frequency shift, and we still get the words, though, which like Joey Bishop, which was kind of a joke there, and I think that's what she was kind of giving me a little kick in the pants there. Her son Joey passed before she did, Debbie Caruso, that is, and accident in Mexico, and that's how she got into EVP work. Good sense of humor. She could cuss like a sailor, from what Kathy would tell me. And Ovilus, yes. We're going to be doing Ovilus work. I'll tell you what, I'll go ahead and do an Ovilus show next Friday. So we'll do one of those. And, that should be interesting. But well, we're trying this technique, and we'll see how well we do with it. And if it works out great, we'll use it in future shows. So here we go, 14 to 60. If I read that right, it's a voice saying, it's a high-pitched voice, and it is saying something, and it's my read on it is it's saying, Debbie is free. Debbie is free. Yeah, Quinny, I've got the basically the second model of the Ovilus, and it was some more sensitive and a little more fast on getting words out. It really did seem to do that. I see you out there, 321 caller. I'm going to go ahead and do just a couple more of these, and then I'll go ahead and pull you in since we're short on time. So 16 to 19, we'll see if Debbie has anything to say here. Okay, I'm getting something on that first part. I'm going to go to 2 seconds worth, 16 to 18. Here we go. She says, I love you. Let's get to selling. It is nice and loud. It's a little different than my normal reading stuff I do. Very much different. I'll try the second question, then we'll take the caller. So here we go. Okay, and that's referring to the fact we had a visitor last night in the house, and I think it was her because I really picked up on her strong. Okay, I'm going to run a quick compression and then a quick noise reduction. And since I already have the sample, I'll just apply the last sample set, and that should get us going. I didn't like that. You know, I'm going to leave that as is. Let's go ahead and take 21 to 24. I heard something like still happy. Here we go. I'm going to take it 23 to 25. Oh, my God. She says, tell Kathy I'm happy. Tell Kathy I'm happy. Kathy knew her really well, so it's good that, you know, I'll give Kathy a call tonight and see that, let her know she came through on the device. So this is working pretty good. I'm pretty pleased with it. 25 to 27, here we go. That's heaven. This is a male speaking. She has someone else coming through. That's heaven. And so I'm not sure what, you know, tell Kathy, you know, I love her basically, and then that's heaven. And it's funny that not a direct response to my question about her coming through, but I'm really sure it was her that came through. I'm going to do one more, and then we'll take our caller. Here we go, 27 to 29, almost to 30. Here we go. Okay, that's gonna. I'm gonna go a little faster. Here we go. Not sure if that's a spirit voice, but I'm gonna go ahead and stop there, and we'll go ahead and take the callers. I'm gonna switch back to the other mic here. So here we go. Switching off. Okay, back to the console. Let me see what we got. We got BTR Most Hated came through. And he's got everything in uppercase. Well, I'm going to go ahead and just take the call here. 321. 321, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. My name is Linda. I'm calling from Florida. I was listening to the show, but thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. Okay. Good to have you here, my dear. And your name again?
My name is Linda, and I'm calling from Florida.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm going to do I've got a couple of callers in, and we're going to take them real quick. So I'll do, like, one question and just, you know, so we can get everybody in, and because we've got about 14 minutes. So what can I do for you?
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks for even taking my call. You know, whatever you're comfortable with, if whatever you want to tell me pops out, a romance, finance, unfortunately, I'm one of the people that's struggling because of the economy, and it seems like it's affecting all aspects of my life.
And you are, well, normally I speak with, you know me, I mean, I talk dead people. Dead people are really good. I talk with them great. But people are really concerned about the economy, and I get a lot of these, you know, on the air. But I'm getting faith with you.
And about dead people, because I have had experiences.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I was leading. Do you have a grandmother who's passed? Do you have a grandmother on the other side?
Yes.
Or a grandmother figure? Because I'm getting this grandmotherly energy with you, telling you not to give up. Just really kind of telling you to buck up and face it, and that she went through this. This woman went through the extreme challenge, and you're getting a taste of it. And that's kind of the sense I get right off the bat. It's basically just, and she did pass. This is, you know, one of them or both of your grandmothers?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay, one you, and I sense you were closer to one than the other. You know, there was one that was more.
I didn't know either one of them. Both my parents were orphans at a young age. Their parents were deceased.
Okay, now, but you know of these two women? You know more about something about them?
My parents didn't talk about it because it was painful. My mother was 7, and I don't know what age my father was. My mother was raised by an aunt. My father was raised by an uncle. So, I mean, they had family raising, but to this day, I still don't know my family tree. And they're both deceased, my parents. They just didn't want to talk about it, which is sad.
Well, I think that you have to think that there's one of them, and I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say your mother's mother is the one that's coming through here. And the thing that I'm getting is they went through extremely hard times. Okay, and that's may explain some of the reluctance to talk. There was more pain there than just I can talk on air. But what I will say to you is this, that you have the capacity to research more on it than you have been able to, and some tools will make themselves apparent on that score. But what's even more important right now that you can do right now is start talking to them in spirit and ask for their guidance and dreams and things like that, and then start writing down the things you get. Because you can form a relationship. You don't need a guy like me to do this for you. You know, I do this. It's fun. I enjoy it. But what I like, what I really like to do is not just to, you know, go fish for people, but teach them how to fish. And, you know, when you do that, you can really, it can really help you. I really get the feeling there's like a family saying, there's a family mannerism that you're going to learn about where it really came from and that you have this thing. It's kind of quirky. I don't know what it is, but that's what they're saying. And this woman is an extremely dynamic, strong presence. And she may have already come through for you in dreams, but she's a force to contend with. So I'll just say that much.
Yeah, I kind of sense it because my family has a lot of integrity. In other words, they don't portray themselves as victims. You know, they didn't walk around the boo-hoo, you know what I'm saying?
That's the sense I get. What I'm getting here is you're getting a taste of what we went through. This is what you in your life right now, living what you're living, this is basically the challenge to you to look at it and say, you know, okay, you know, great, that's all you got to throw at me. I can make this work. And, you know, and she'll be able to give you tools and ways to handle it a little better than you've been able to handle it, because it's tough. I mean, we're going through some tough times, and the world, everybody's going through it. I'm facing stuff, you know, but bottom line is she's there, and she sees what you're going through. And you've got kids, right? You got kids?
No. No.
You're going to have kids?
No, I think I'm beyond the years for kids, childbearing years. But
okay.
Something devastating.
Are you around kids? I mean, I'm getting kids with you. Are you like around some kids?
But I love kids. I mean, kids love me, too. I should have had kids, but I didn't.
Well, I'm getting kids with you, and so I wouldn't be surprised if you end up with a kid thing going on, okay? I'm getting you around children. So, you know, that might be a potential career thing. Anyway, I hope that helps.
Okay, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate it. Thank you
okay,
again.
Okay, take care. All right, see you later, Linda. All right, let's see. What do we got here? That was 321, and I'm going to go with Craig Bishop. And, boy, we've had the Night of the Bishop.
Yes.
Hi, Craig.
Hey, thanks for having me. I know you're just about at the end of your show, so I'll just really quick. I'm just curious. I grew up in a stone farmhouse that was built in the late 1840s, and I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and I recently moved back in the last 2 years. And I was just wondering if you can feel that there might be one or two specific people that have been trying to contact me from all that history. When I was younger, I used to see people outside. I never really noticed anything inside, although my family had impressions inside. But I was just curious if you felt anything.
Is this in the eastern side of the United States? Is this like eastern?
More central.
Part? Central?
Wisconsin.
Is it a Civil War area or something? Was there like you know, not so much fighting there, but was there Civil War regiments or things like that there?
Yeah, probably. I don't know if right in this specific
training
spot. Yeah, but there could have been in the area, yes.
Okay, so, yeah, that's kind of, I get the sense of a military detachment or presence there that's in the area. Not, I don't know if so much associated with the house, but what I'm getting at is it's kind of in the, that's that was around there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I get a soldier presence. Really, just that was the first thing I thought of was like a soldier. Now, whether that was one of the people that lived there and was a soldier, you know, went off and did the war and then came back, I'm not sure, but I'm definitely getting a male, a strong male kind of runs the place, you know, and that seems to be, that's the first thing that comes through. I mean, and he seems to be 50-ish, you know, and he passed.
That could
so,
be.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's just sort of the sense I get with it, and injured, you know, kind of a very pronounced injury.
Well, I talk to everybody. Every morning I wake up and I basically say hello to the house and please don't burn down while I'm gone because this place has been here for so long I don't want it to go anywhere, you know, on my watch. So I talk to everybody and say, all right, I'm leaving and have a great day.
Yeah. Well, I do sense, that, you know, number one, you've got activity. You know, you've already basically, you know, all but said it, right? I mean, you got things going on in there.
Yes.
Okay, but I'm getting this male, strong male presence. Is this a multi-story home?
Yes.
Okay, is there more activity on the, like, the upper part than the lower?
It actually kind of evens out, but I feel it's different types of activity. Sometimes it's
okay.
A little bit more rough, and other times it's very... almost like maybe there's even an animal in the house, like the ghost of a dog or something. Seriously, sometimes the curtains move a certain way, and it just seems, it's just odd. And I'm not the only one. I've had people with me when these things have happened, and they're like, what the hell was that? And I'm like, you'll get used to it, kind of a thing. But I was just curious what your impression was.
Yeah, well, I'm getting a strong male, and there's also seems to be a territorial female bottom. You know, section of the hall. You know, so you got a couple of, you know, you have at least two, and I'm going to go with, if I had to pick a number of spirits in the home, six.
That
could include
really
your animal.
That's really interesting you said the six, because that was the same number I asked, I don't know how you've, but like with a Ouija board, somebody said, and I said, well, how many people are in this house? And the number was six.
Yeah, I'm getting you've got a potpourri out there, my friend. The they sort of know about each other, but you know they're not, you know, they're kind of in their own space, and there seems to be kind of some like of agreements about how they appear. And I get the feeling you're getting talking, you're hearing occasionally speaking.
Yes.
I think that's there. So I hear feel like you're hearing conversations about you.
Oh yeah,
so.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm sure they see a lot of stuff and go, what is your problem? And I'm like, just be quiet. Leave me alone.
Well, I envy you, but I also live on my own haunted property, so I know what you're going through. But I wish you well with it, my friend. You definitely call back you know, in about a week and let me know some more. We're down to a couple of minutes here.
I will definitely.
Okay.
Thank you so much. You have a great night.
You too. God bless.
Thanks.
And I'll take the 602 real fast here. 602, are you still there?
I'm here. I was just listening to your eye.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks for listening in. I'll just go ahead and pop you off here then.
No, I take
care.
It here.
Okay. All right. We've had it went faster than I thought, guys. You know, and it's good to be back in the saddle. I feel really good tonight. And, you know, actually being able to get out and do the metal detecting and working on out and my body's back to normal. Psychic stuff, you know, it could be a little better, you know. But, you know, it takes time to get back in the groove when you've been off. But, you know, I think I did okay, you know, for first, you know, time in the back in the box, really getting back to normal. I'm going to go ahead and read off here. Let's see. We got BTR's Most Hated On. We got Daniel Adam. Let's see. We got Fire Witch. Hello, Joy, my dear. Gerber Daisy TM. Guest 20495, 20520, and 20528. Thank you for all of you for showing up. Jeannie Marie out there in Atlanta, Georgia. And she's going to tell us about her life. One day she'll call in. I'm going to have to wangle her into it. I'll call you. I promise I'll call you. I'm going to call you right after the show here. KV9, let's see. We got Mother Jerry. Quinny, hello, my dear. I got to give you a call, too. We got to talk. I haven't chatted with you in ages. Get retro movie. Rented lips. Go take it back. Retro movie chat. Say that three times fast. Sherry Nine is here. And, yeah, find some gold. I've been looking for gold, and all I find is crap. There's stuff, you know, people, it's like people don't throw gold away. Come on, throw some gold on the ground so I can find it. I'm using my little Garrett Ace 250 metal detector. You know, there's some free advertisement for Garrett. So it's a wonderful toy, and I'm having a grand time with it. I'm finding change everywhere. People drop change, especially at high schools. I'm finding a change all over outside the parking lots of high schools. So thank God for kids dropping money. So, hey, yeah, I had a great time with you guys, and I'll go ahead and be on tomorrow. I've got an interview tomorrow about a new book from a good friend of mine, and so we'll be on tomorrow about 8 o'clock. I'm going to do a 90-minute show, and then I will see you guys on Thursday, the Thursday after. I'm going to be on with Kathy on Kathy's Distant Echoes, and I just heard something in the house here. We're having here in my studio. I've got spirits around me, and they're welcoming me back too. So, and let's see. And then the following Friday, we're going to do another Soul Stream and get back to a regular Friday schedule. And then maybe I'll cheat and do a Saturday show too. So, anyway, guys, 30 seconds remaining, and thank you guys for saying it's a good show because it feels good to be back in my chair. And it's actually not freezing in here, which is a really good thing. So I will see you guys tomorrow. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, i.e. now, Soul Stream. We will see you guys later. Thank you, and God bless.